Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Glen. We're glad you're here to worship with us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to all of you watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. This is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And so as we gather together, looking forward to the Easter season just a few weeks from now, this season of Lent is a penitential season. It's a season where we reflect upon ourselves, upon our sin, upon our Savior and his suffering for us. And so in a sense, it's sort of a subdued season. It's one where we don't have as many outward expressions of joy. And yet, even on this first Sunday in the season of Lent, we have every reason to be joyful. And one extra reason today is because we have a baptism that we're about to witness, the baptism of Henry Isaiah Underfert. And he is the newborn son of Tyler and Joanna. And so he's here with his family, and we're really, really excited to welcome him into God's kingdom today. Today we're going to be following Divine Service Setting 2, and everything's printed for you there in your bulletin. I'll invite you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated. This is the first time that we've had a traditional baptism since we came back last summer to have in-person worship services. I'm going to invite you, if you are willing to, and if you're comfortable doing so, I'm going to invite you to take the hymnal in front of you and open up to page 268, which is the Liturgy for Holy Baptism. And I'll invite Henry and his family and his sponsors to come and join me right up here at the foot of the stairs. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How is this child named? Henry Isaiah Underfert, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, You sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Henry according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. So Henry's parents have chosen Uncle Matt, Aunt Jennifer, and also Ben to serve in this role. Having heard these important responsibilities, I now ask the three of you, is it your intention to serve Henry and support him in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. God enable you to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Okay, we're going to proceed now up here to the font, if you want to join me up here. I have a few questions for Henry, but since he's not able to speak for himself, I'm going to invite the entire congregation to respond to the following questions on his behalf. Henry, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Henry, do you desire to be baptized? Okay. Henry Isaiah Unverfert, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. All right. There we go. I'm going to give this to you, Matt. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ. Be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. So I'm going to encourage you to keep that candle in a safe place and light it every year on February 21st to remind Henry of his baptismal day. One of the most ancient understandings of baptism in the history of the Christian church is that when a person is baptized, they receive a new name. So in baptism, the name of Christ is placed upon us, and we belong to him. But it's also been a tradition over the years when a Christian is baptized that we actually would recognize the meaning of their given name. And so the name Henry is really an interesting name. From what I could tell, it seems like it's an English name. It comes from England, and there's been lots of kings of England named King Henry. But the name itself actually means ruler, like a king. And actually, literally, it's ruler of the home or ruler of the homelands. I don't know, he might already be the ruler of your home, or if he's not already, he might be someday. But certainly, you know, on a baptism day, we are excited about the fact that Jesus has welcomed him into his kingdom, and Jesus is Henry's ruler and will be from this day forward, until the day when we all stand before God's throne in heaven. So we are certainly rejoicing in that. I'm going to invite our elder Al to share a welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Henry Isaiah, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all treasures of heaven and in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. And let's welcome Henry with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Henry the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And peace be with you. Amen. Okay, well, you may return to your seats, and we are going to sing a baptismal hymn, which is God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. Please stand. We continue our service now with the introit. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life, I will satisfy him. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. For he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up. You will tread on the lion and the adder. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life, I will satisfy him. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. In place of our hymn of praise during the Lenten season, we will be singing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Please remain standing. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading appointed for the first Sunday in Lent is from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle reading today is from the letter of St. James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Lenten verse in the Gospel. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is "In God, My Faithful God."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, this famous passage, very interesting passage, Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham is told by God to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, and all of the dramatic things that take place. Of course, all of it resulting in a ram caught in a thicket being used as a substitute for Isaac in that sacrifice. And all of that reminds us, of course, that our God has provided a substitute for us, not a ram caught in a thicket, but our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was the sacrifice, the great sacrifice for you and for me. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so last week, with all of the snow and all of the ever-changing forecast throughout the whole week, my phone kept buzzing just over and over again, sometimes even in the middle of the night. And the reason for that was because a while back, I had signed up for these emergency text alerts from Washington County. And part of what that means is they send out these text blasts every time there's something major that comes down from the National Weather Service. So, you know, things like, you know, severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado watches and things. But evidently, as I learned last week, every single time the National Weather Service has a new winter weather advisory, you get a text blast. Even if it's 2 a.m, you get a text message. So, okay, it's a little annoying, but honestly, I think it's a good thing, right? I mean, it's good to have this ability to get potentially life-saving information out to lots of people in a short amount of time. And like every other emergency alert system out there, this system needs to be tested every once in a while. So every so often, my phone will buzz and I'll look down and the text will be from Washington County, but it just says, "This is a test." All right. So as my phone kept giving me these notifications last week, I was thinking about this story that I had heard in the news a few years ago, and maybe some of you heard about this too. It came out of Hawaii, and it was national news at the time. But there was a similar emergency alert system in place where, because of a mistake that was made during a testing period, there were a lot of people that got thrown into a panic one day. Apparently, the story goes that one of these state employees came in and was responsible for sending this test message out to everybody, but they simply chose the wrong message from a drop-down menu on their computer program. So instead of sending out the message that says, "This is a test," they sent out the one that says that there's going to be an impending attack on the island of Hawaii. So, like, in all caps, all of a sudden, everybody in that vicinity got this thing that said, "Ballistic missile incoming, take shelter, this is not a drill." And so the whole island starts going crazy. The news report said there was a lot of chaos and confusion. I mean, that's a pretty bad day at the office, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's a doozy of a mistake to make. Sometimes we kind of been joking around when we're doing these live streams and we're sending a lot of stuff out to people out on the internet, and, you know, we might hit the wrong button, or, you know, it's kind of embarrassing, it's kind of nerve-wracking. But imagine making an entire state filled with people think that they're about to be blown up by some enemy out there. I mean, that's really, really bad, right? But that's what took place just because of those five words. "This is not a drill." If you know you're being tested, it's not as much of a big deal, right? So, like, when we have a fire drill here at school, you know, the older kids, the 7th and 8th graders, you know, they've been there, they've done that, they're used to it, they know what a fire drill is. So when they hear the loud alarms and everybody's rushing around to get everybody outside, it's not really a cause for panic, right? They know what to do. The preschoolers are a different story, right? Because some of the little ones, they're still kind of trying to figure out what's a drill and what's reality, right? And so some of them start to panic. Some of them start to cry. But if you know that the drill is happening, if you know that it's a test, it's a completely different story. So with all that in mind, we're looking at this Old Testament passage here. And this passage is intriguing anyway on its own. But I think when you think about it in terms of a test and knowing whether you're being tested or not, it becomes even more intriguing. The story of Abraham being called to sacrifice Isaac has really been amazing to a lot of people over literally thousands of years, and not just Christians, but Jewish people too, and even Muslims. Muslims believe that Abraham was called to sacrifice Ishmael, but so there's some details that are different. But anybody who traces their spiritual lineage back to Abraham in some way has probably at some time heard this story, and probably when you hear this story, you walk away with a whole bunch of questions about it. You know, like first of all, how in the world could God ask Abraham to do something so horrible as to sacrifice his son? And how does Abraham just seemingly go along with it? Right? And how does Isaac not get a little fishy when Abraham says, hey, the Lord's going to provide the lamb, wink, wink, right? And unfortunately, you know, we don't have all of the details that maybe we would want, and maybe that's part of what makes this story so intriguing, is that we're sort of left to fill in the blanks on our own. So we try to imagine, just imagine what Abraham must have been thinking, what must have been going through his mind. And when you really look at the details that we have here, I mean, there's like days. There's three whole days where Abraham knows what's about to take place or what he thinks is about to take place, right? He's got to walk with his son to this place over 3 days. He's got to chop down all the wood himself. He's got to build the altar, right? And he thinks that he knows what's going to happen at the end. What he doesn't know is that he's being tested. We find that out right away as readers. In the very first verse, that's what it says. It says, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham didn't know that he was being tested. And it's interesting because the way that he responds is not really what you would expect, right? He doesn't lose his cool, doesn't seem like it. He doesn't act like all those poor people in Hawaii, you know, a few years ago. He doesn't act like a preschooler during a fire drill. Abraham doesn't lose his cool. He doesn't panic. It's not really in the end about what Abraham doesn't know. It's actually more about what he does know. He knows that he can trust Yahweh in all things. And he knows that all of the crazy things, seemingly crazy things that God has promised him already have come true. Abraham was told when he was 75 years old and childless that he was going to be the father of a great nation. And that would be hard enough to believe on its own, right? But then he has to wait another 25 years before Isaac is born to him and to Sarah at 100 years old. So we don't really know exactly what Abraham was thinking. We don't know everything we would like to know about his mindset. Genesis 22 doesn't give us all of those details. But actually, the writer to the Hebrews, way, way later in the New Testament, gives us some of that insight. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So as Abraham is binding up Isaac, putting him on the altar, taking the knife, getting ready to sacrifice his son, at least one of the many things that I'm sure was going through his mind at the time, one of those things was, God will probably raise Isaac from the dead when this is all said and done, because we know that God is going to keep his promise. That's absolutely amazing, isn't it? And in that moment, that's when the angel appears, stops Abraham, and then tells him, of course, what we already knew, that this was a test, that this was only a drill. And the ram in the thicket is taken and sacrificed in place of Isaac, and everything is a whole lot calmer, and all's well that ends well. And I suppose, as a preacher, I could just pause at this point in the sermon, and I could say, all right, now you need to be like Abraham. You need to show the kind of obedience, the kind of faith that is going to be absolutely astounding, no matter, you'll be willing to do anything, no matter how crazy, no matter how dangerous it seems, to show your loyalty to God, and then God will have no choice but to bless you. I could say that, but I think that that would miss the entire point of this passage. The reason why we go through drills and tests is so that we can be prepared. It's so that if and when the real moment comes, we're confident, we're ready, we can trust that everything's going to turn out okay. But this drill here in Genesis chapter 22, this is not preparing us to be Abraham. It's actually preparing us to be Isaac. During this Lenten season, we're starting the season of Lent, and this is a time of the year, every year, when we focus on our sin, and maybe we feel the presence of the law more than at other times. But because we're here in Lent, we can't help but see there's a number of parallels between what we read here in Genesis 22 and the great sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for you and for me. In both passages, you have the Father sacrificing His Son, His only Son whom He loves. When we think about the wood being placed on Isaac's back as he goes up the mountain, the very wood that will supposedly take his life, can you help but think about Jesus carrying His own cross up to Mount Calvary? And on top of that, this tells us in this passage that this takes place on Mount Moriah, the mountains of Moriah. And later on in 2 Chronicles, we find out that King Solomon actually built the temple on that same mountain. So the place where Abraham was called to sacrifice Isaac is the same place where thousands of animals were sacrificed to atone for the sins of the people, and all of it is just steps away from where Jesus became the greatest sacrifice for us. The truth is, we're Isaac. The truth is, it should have been us there on that mountain. It should have been us with the wood on our backs. It should have been us getting ready to be slaughtered, to be crucified, to be punished for lives that are filled with sin and evil. And yet our Heavenly Father, in a dramatic moment at just the right time, provides a substitute for us too, not a ram in a thicket, but a Savior in the flesh. It's not a drill. It's not a test. It's a real life paid as the cost for real sin. It's real death being destroyed with a real resurrection on Easter. It's real promises being made to you and to me. Real promises being made to little Henry over there. Little promises being made, real promises being made to all people who have been washed clean and have been baptized and who believe in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So yeah, during this Lenten season, when maybe we feel like we are surrounded with the law, and maybe there are times in your life when the law feels like it's the knife in the hand of Abraham and it's coming for you. Even in those moments, we can see the benefit of the drill, of the test here in Genesis 22, the benefit of being associated with Isaac, because we know that God will provide. We know that Easter is coming soon. We know that someday, even if our bodies pass away, and our souls go to be in heaven with Jesus, we know that someday we are going to be raised from the dead too. So yeah, I mean, you might have days when your faith is tested like Abraham's, and certainly the life of a Christian is not going to mean that every single day is the best day of your life. But the comfort that we find in those not-so-great moments, in those moments of high drama and scariness and danger, the comfort is not going to be found in our capacity to obey. But the comfort is found in God's willingness to provide. Jesus has died for you. He took your place. He poured out his love for you. This is not a drill. This is not a test. It's real salvation for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's a few updates for you in the prayers today. This week, we included in our recent surgeries, we have Jim Leitz, who is recovering from his recent successful knee surgery. Thanks be to God. Also not listed in the bulletin, we have Eileen Spenner. She had to have surgery this week to deal with an infection in one of her spinal discs. She is still hospitalized, but she's doing really well, and she should be back home soon. So please keep her in your prayers this week. Under ongoing health needs, for some time we have been praying for Daryl Brommeyer, and we have an update for you on him. He's been dealing with cancer, but he had a PET scan this week on Wednesday and received very good results. So thanks be to God for that. Also, we have been praying for Brad Mashoff, and he was able to come home this week after being hospitalized for quite a while. So thanks be to God for that. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, as we enter this Lenten season of repentance and renewed devotion, we pray that you would remember us according to your steadfast love and goodness in Christ, and instruct and lead us by your Spirit in your ways, so that we may repent and believe the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you placed the wood of the cross on the back of your only begotten Son, that as the promised offspring of Abraham, he might possess the gates of hell. Bless, we pray, his church and all those called to preach and teach within her, with the certainty that those gates cannot prevail against them, that in faith they may boldly trample every power of the enemy underfoot. We especially ask you to bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor, Jonathan Jennings. We also lift before you our school administrator, Chris Denning, as he deliberates your call to Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Winfield, Kansas. Give him wisdom and lead him by your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes down to us from above, keep us from being enticed by our own desires to misuse your gifts in sin, and help us to use them rightly in service to you and our neighbor. Bless all our leaders, that we may be governed wisely and justly for the good of this present generation and all those to come. Guide and protect those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. We thank and praise you today for the baptism of Henry Isaiah Unverfurt and ask you to bless him as he grows in faith and in love for you. We also rejoice with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Gavin, Gabriel, Zachary, Brittany, Doug, Beth, and Robert. May they each look to you for all good things in this next year and beyond. Lord, in your mercy, most high God, our refuge in every trouble, you have promised to hear when we call to you. We pray that you would command your angels to guard our brothers and sisters, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Lorna, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before your throne all those who are recovering from recent surgeries, including Jim, Jerry, Elaine, Norma, and Eileen, and also those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Daryl, Marvin, Matthew, Amy, Beulah, Ronnie, Cheryl, Verdell, Brad, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Greg, Doug, Linda, Karen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Todd, all those who are fighting cancer, all those who are affected by the coronavirus. Keep them from every evil that can befall the body, mind, and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we remember with thanksgiving those before us whom you brought forth by the word of truth and who now live and reign in your presence with your Son. As you have also brought us forth by that word in baptism, we pray that you would bring us to full maturity by your word, that we too may be gathered with them to your Son on the glorious harvest of the last day. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just another quick reminder that we are collecting offerings in the narthex. So if you brought a tithe or offering with you today, you may place that in the basket as you leave the worship today. Our offertory hymn at this time will be The Lamb. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is Christ Be My Leader. Okay, at this time, I would like to invite our Sunday school teachers and students to dismiss over to the school building. Good morning. Just a few announcements before we leave today. Just want to remind you of our midweek Lenten sermon series. Kind of rough to have to kick it off on Ash Wednesday with the poor weather that we had and to have to do that virtually only. If you missed that, you can check that out on our website or on Facebook. It is still there for you to watch. But we are going through the places of the Passion this year, so different spots along the way as Jesus made his way to the cross. And we are doing that in a rotation with two other pastors. So this week, Pastor James Miller from Nashville will be preaching here on Wednesday. I will be in New Minden this coming Wednesday. But that service will be here at 7 o'clock, and so we hope that you can be here to participate in that. And then going along with that, since Wednesday nights are having Lenten worship services, now we are having our women's Bible study moving to Thursdays during the season of Lent. So ladies will be getting together at 7 o'clock on Thursday for that Bible study. Also wanted to let you know that YPS Youth Nights are back. Really excited about this announcement. So next Sunday, we're going to be resuming those youth nights, 6 o'clock. We're going to come together and have some food and some fellowship and some devotion. Might look a little bit different from what we used to do, but it'll still be a really good time, and we hope that all of our high school-aged youth can come and join us. Still not ready to start up Club 58 for the middle school students just yet, so we'll see if things change over time, but for now, we really want to have those high school youth connected to our ministry through those youth nights. Couple other things. There is an announcement in your bulletin about the Community Club Chicken Dinner. So don't forget about that. It's going on right now, and it's going to take place until 1 o'clock this afternoon. And it's all drive-through this year, so if you need any information about that, it's all there for you in the bulletin. And wanted to also mention this donation for the Joshua Manor residence. So that's the care facility that's here in Hoyleton, and we sort of lost a week on this because of the bad weather, but we are still collecting items until this Wednesday, the 24th, and we'd really appreciate it if you would consider donating some of these things. So there's a big list of that in the bulletin today. If you would drop those off to the office, we would really, really appreciate that. I'm going to invite Mr. Chris Denning, our school administrator, to come up. He has an announcement for you.
All right, first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your prayers and kind words during this time of prayerful consideration. Of my calls. To make things even actually a little more interesting, I was issued another call from St. Peter Lutheran School in St. Peter, Illinois this past week as well. So, after much heartfelt prayer and deliberation with my wife and my Lord, I am able to inform you that I have accepted the call from Trinity Lutheran School in Winfield, Kansas, to be their principal and teacher for next school year. Rachel and I have treasured working in ministry together with you the past 3 years. I'm deeply humbled and honored to have been the principal here in Hoyleton. And with this decision, I am respectfully requesting a peaceful release from my call on Wednesday, June 30th, 2021. I pray God's richest blessings upon this congregation as you begin your search for a new school leader for Trinity Lutheran Church and School. So, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. And thank you for 3 years. And, you know, we're certainly going to miss you guys. But, you know, we know that God's going to use you at your next school and be a blessing to them. And all of you, I'm going to ask for your prayers for the Dennings and for your prayers for our school and for our school board as we now start this call process to see who our administrator is going to be for the next school year. So are there any other announcements today? Okay, if not, then pray that you have a wonderful rest of your day. Go get some delicious chicken. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.